gentlemen.
You're locked in to JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex rolling into the 5 o'clock hour. Thanks for listening today, wherever you might be. It's brought to you by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farnsworth in for Alex Keery. We made history today. We are the first pair of Sports Talk radio hosts in the history of Sports Talk Radio in the state of Utah to do a show while wearing suits.
Yes. You know, I was told there was going to be cameras. I was told that this was live streamed.
Sam,
I,
don't lie to the people listening.
Lying.
You sleep in your suit.
Yeah. I have before. Not intentionally, but yes. It's not comfortable. It's not.
Just don't sleep at 10:20. It's a little too early.
Yeah, I've got... this is not... I've got... Quick story. This
okay.
is the, I don't
okay.
know if anyone
we
really cares
time.
About this.
We have time.
So when I was in Colorado, I went to Canton, Ohio to cover Hall of Fame. Terrell Davis going to the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
I thought I'd save my station some money. Got a hotel that the pictures looked great. I got to the hotel. I'm like, this is what I booked. And by the time I got there, it's like 2 in the morning because I've been doing, you know, I'm in the Eastern time zone doing mountain time hits and everything. Then I finally get to my hotel, which is about 30 minutes away. It's way late. All right, I go in. This place is a dump. It's not like I can change a hotel room right now. I go in. The room is awful. I'm just like paranoid about everything you could think of about a hotel bed. I took my suit coat. I wrapped it around me nice and tight, and I laid down on that bed without even a – I just slept on top of the covers in my suit. Not fun, not comfortable, but there's my suit sleeping in my suit story. I told you I did once. It wasn't fun.
That's a terrible story.
It was awful. It was the worst place. They refunded my money for
my
stay. Just because I said, look, this place is not great. Anyway, take that for what it is. A little entertainment on your Thursday, I guess.
I was just joking, but you've actually slept in your suit.
I'm telling you, it was a terrible experience.
Well, I'm sorry for that. You clearly have some trauma still attached to that.
I've learned.
I mean, Canton, Ohio is bad enough. You had to sleep in your suit.
I've learned that $20 savings for one night in a hotel is, look, that extra $20 is probably well spent.
It's not worth it.
No.
No. You didn't get any bed bugs, right?
I don't think I did, but I thought
you
about
don't
that
know
all
for sure.
Look, that I was thinking about that all night long. I'm like, man, anyway.
Yeah.
It was that kind of a place.
Well, sorry about that. You know what else I'm sorry about, Utah? The A's aren't coming here. That's right. That was the news today that broke this morning that the and we knew this was coming because of the TV money deal. The A's weren't going to give up 60, 70, 80 million in TV revenue. They were going to stay in Northern California so they could get that money. And they do so. They're going to stay in, they're going to play in Sacramento at the minor league ballpark there in Sacramento. And they'll do so for the next 3, possibly 4 years until their new stadium is built in Las Vegas. So, Salt Lake, sorry, the A's aren't coming here. But you know what? Good. It's a garbage franchise. You go ahead and stay in Sacramento. We don't want you.
I've never been more excited about a market, though, being so prepared for major sports to come.
We were ready. We were going to take the A's. We were being charitable.
Yeah.
Look, we know you're a garbage franchise, but we want to have Major League Baseball here. You come here. We want to show Major League Baseball we can be good hosts, but you turn us down, so fine. You know who may not be turning us down, though, is the NHL. That was the other big news today that we shared, thanks to our Bonneville friends. In Arizona, they are reporting that Arizona Coyotes owner Alex Marullo has spoken to multiple potential buyers who are in the state and outside of it. One of those could likely be, we're speculating, but could be, Ryan Smith, to gauge their interest in purchasing the NHL franchise from him. That's according to Arizona Sports John Gambadoro. Marullo reportedly was seeking upward of $1 billion for the franchise that he bought in July of 2019. The Coyotes owner had a recent meeting with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman regarding the team's future. So, we also have heard that Ryan Smith has offered $1 billion for that NHL franchise. So it's interesting that those two things have kind of come together. So
do you think, going all the way back to, do you remember the tweet when he said in motion, talking about, you know, bringing hockey here?
I'm sure he knew a lot more than he wanted to say.
That was like a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
It was right about a year. It was right around the playoffs. He did that tweet. And then his, release that, hey, he wants an expansion team just before the All-Star break. Just all these things. Then he releases a rendering of a potential downtown arena. All these things he's done, they've clearly been strategic. Do you think if he has not taken all these steps, we're in the situation where we're in today where the NHL and Arizona is maybe feeling the pressure to solve that situation too?
Sam's got to figure it out. You should have been an investigative reporter. You nailed it. The all signs point to this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very clear. And if you can't see that, then, I mean, if you're one of these crazy Arizona fans, it's like, this is never going to happen. They're going to win that land lottery. We're going to keep our team here.
It's too many of those.
It's not going to happen. It's over. Okay? I'm now 97% confident that the NHL will be in Utah in 2024-25. Ryan Smith will purchase that franchise from Alex Marullo, and it will be moved to Utah, and they'll be playing in Delta Center next season. That's exciting. You know what else would be exciting, Sam? College Football Super League. That is the cut here in 5 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Also want to mention that this segment is brought to you by Trajan Wealth. Call Trajan Wealth today, your local financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600, or visit their website at trajanwealth.com. That's right. I said it before. We played the cut. A college football super league. What are we talking about here? Let me go into some of the details. The Athletic published a story. It came out yesterday, and we're reacting to it today, that there is a group, a powerful group. That group is made up of influential people from the NFL and 76ers owner David Blitzer, who also happens to be co-owner of Real Salt Lake, is among that group. They're called the CST, or the College Sports Tomorrow Group. They have an idea. They have an idea for a model. They want to save college football. It's pretty clear that we can agree on the fact that the current state of college football, while wildly entertaining and fascinating, cannot sustain itself at the current in the current state. NIL's out of control. The transfer portal's out of control. The Big Ten and the SEC rule. We have playoff situation here where we don't know what's going to happen there. And the most important thing is there are antitrust lawsuits out there. I think that's the most important thing. When you get sued, you have some incentive to change things up and address those situations. So that's what's happening here is this group has come forward with this idea to fix a, quote, dead system. And it's called the College Football Super League. So what would happen with this is the outline would create a system that would have the top 70 programs, all members of the five former major conferences. That includes Notre Dame, ACC member SMU, and the Pac-2, by the way. Oregon State and Washington State. We didn't forget about you guys, even though everybody else did. That 70-team group would break away and form their own Super League. Now, we're not done. Those would be the perpetual members. They'd have 7 10-team divisions, and they would always be there. They would also form an 8th division, 10 more teams from the group of 5. And that group of 5 would have their own division, and those teams would be promoted from the second tier, which is interesting. There's 130 FBS programs, only 70 are in this part. That leaves 60 that are on the outside looking in, but they provide an opportunity for 10 of those teams to be a part of the 80. So it's going to be an 80-team league with 10 of those teams' schools being from the group of 5. And so those 50-plus division teams would have an opportunity to compete their way into the upper division, kind of like they do in soccer in Europe.
Yep.
Promotion and relegation, which I love. I think it's great.
It's exciting.
There's a lot of great Group of Five programs that have flexed their muscle. We've seen Boise State in the past. We all know Utah was one of those teams in the past, and now they're on the other side. But they used to be on the outside looking in. They kind of played their way in, TCU. Mm-hmm. And now as you've seen SMU kind of make their way into the ACC. Yep. And we see all the additions in the Big 12 I almost said Central Florida. We can't do that.
UCF.
UCF. Houston, Cincinnati, and BYU. All playing their way into the Power 5. Well, now these schools will have a chance to do that as well. So it borrows from that model. Your reaction, Sam.
Well, one thing I really like about it, too, is okay, so there's the base model, okay? We no longer have to deal with committees. There's no more selection committees. The way the playoff work is those eight division winners, including the G5 division, the division winners, they're in the playoff. Then the next eight spots go to a record-based, just like the NFL.
Okay, so 16-team playoff.
Obviously, there's going to be tiebreakers involved because with that many teams, you know, you're going to have to go multiple levels of deciding how you figure out the tiebreaker, whether it's a point differential or, you know, common opponents or whatever it may be, in-division record, whatever it may be. But at least we're looking at a playoff system where they say here a playoff would be made up of the eight division winners plus eight wild card spots, which would be decided similarly to the NFL using win-loss records and tiebreakers. So I love it. No more committees. There's no more argument about, well, our team should be in. Our team was good enough to be in. No, you didn't win enough games. You didn't play your way in. Play your way in to the playoff. Play your way in to a championship game. Now college football has a format where they can get that. Well, I can't say now. We're still looking at several years down the road, most likely. But there's a plan. This is the most detailed plan of some sort of college football league outside of what we currently have that's come out ever. And it's one that I'm excited about.
Let me give you two reasons why this needs to and has to happen. And then I'll give you one big one why it's never going to happen. Number one, why is it going to happen? This is interesting. And the article brings this up. There's a case, a class action lawsuit in Northern California right now. It's called House versus NCAA. And not to get into much legal stuff, but essentially the case is seeking NIL revenue denied to athletes prior to the 2021 rule change. If the plaintiffs are successful, the NCAA and the power conferences, it's not just the NCAA as an organization, the power conferences, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, ACC, they could be on the hook for billions in damages. The House case is one of several potentially crippling federal antitrust suits related to athlete employment rights and NIL compensation, according to this article in The Athletic. Billions. That is great incentive to create a situation where you don't have to be the current situation. You've got to do something different. Okay, you've got to create labor opportunities, collective bargaining, all that kind of stuff to properly pay these players, to get all this stuff, all this heat off of you. These big conferences, that would as crazy as it is, the Big Ten and the SEC, as powerful as they are, getting sued for billions and being found liable for billions could actually bankrupt those conferences and the athletic programs in those conferences. That's a big deal.
It'd be detrimental.
If you don't think that's a big deal, you're not paying attention. Okay, so that's a real threat. The other reason.
Do away with the threat, right?
Yeah.
You do away with the threat by moving forward. So, yeah, I agree with that. There's a lot of, college football, college conferences, the major conferences, bowls over the years, over the decades have just fleeced money, right? They've made so much money off of these athletes. So I get why there's several lawsuits out there. Well, whether it's keeping teams out or keeping players from receiving their compensation.
So this idea would create that structure,
right?
It would create one entity with a commissioner, and they would be able to negotiate with a union that represents those players.
Yeah.
They would come up with fair NIL and a transfer portal structure and a salary structure. They'd have rules in place, collective bargaining, so that wouldn't violate any labor laws.
So I would imagine the transfer portal would calm down compared to what we've seen now, too, right? I would imagine there'd be some sort of contract. National letter of intent, contract, something in between those two where you have to be locked in for a certain amount of time before you can enter a portal. I don't know. But I feel like it would just bring a lot more stability to those areas.
No question about it. So that's a major, major incentive. The universities would own a percentage of the league. I think they would have incentive to do this. Here's the deal, though, Sam. As much as this sounds great.
Let me get my umbrella out.
I know. It's rain cloud time. I'm sorry. I have to bring reality into this because this sounds so great, and it's where we need to go. And you've heard several other ideas, and coaches have brought it up. I know Chip Kelly, he had a really interesting idea that he was able to spit out in 30 seconds. It really is that simple. It just it's more complicated because of what I'm about to mention. And Kyle Whittingham has mentioned that he sees it going this way, whether it's 40-team, 60-team, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a college football super league at some point. Here's the reason why this is not going to happen, and here's the reason why this is not gaining traction. The TV networks. Again, the TV networks.
They have too much muscle sometimes.
The networks that are responsible for the destruction of the Pac-12, let's be honest.
Yes.
Fox destroyed the Pac-12.
Yep.
You can blame the commissioners of the sport and the presidents of the schools, but ultimately, Fox got what they wanted. Fox was pulling the strings the whole time. They wanted USC and UCLA in the Big Ten because that was the conference they controlled, and they could get more money for it by getting the LA market and getting those big-name schools. They pulled the strings. They did what they needed to do. So here we are now. These TV networks are very, very powerful. And they got deals locked up. The deals are in place. They've negotiated these deals recently. They've made these moves so that they could have ownership of the rights to these games that we all want to watch. We're all watching them. Even ESPN, who now has exclusive rights to the expanded college football playoff. They have the college football playoff, whether it's 12, 14, 16. They have the rights for the next 6 years. They paid $7.8 billion for it. You think they want to blow that up?
No.
You know, crinkle the paper, throw it away, and start over? You kidding me? The Big Ten's deal runs through the 29-30 season. Big 12, 2030-31. ESPN with the SEC, their exclusive deal that they couldn't wait to get, that they just completed, 2033-34 before you can renegotiate that. And according to this article, one TV executive called the idea that there's more untapped money in the market for this CST offering is, quote, naive. They don't believe there's more money in this. So they have no incentive to even listen to this.
Right.
So it doesn't benefit them. So the buck stops there.
You've got to put a few extra chairs at the table.
Mm-hmm.
A chair for ESPN, a chair for Fox, a chair for CBS, a chair for whoever it is that wants to.
NBC.
And then
the CW.
Right. you got to put those chairs at the table when it comes to developing a league like this as well, because you need not only their input, they're going to be big decision makers in the whole process too, because as you mentioned, there are billions of dollars that are channeled through those television networks. I think you could still open up the bidding to each of these eight divisions to the networks too, once it comes down to it. Instead of your bidding for the SEC, we have the rights to the SEC. Well, maybe now you have the right to the Southeast Division and the Northeast Division and whatever the divisions may be, right? Where you open up the bidding to those, and it might end up being a very similar financial investment and compensation to what we have, and it maybe could be bigger too.
I love the idea of this 80-team Super League, but it's just too good to be true. There's just too many complications with the TV networks, etc. So far, according to The Athletic, the group is struggling to gain traction with the schools that would play in their proposed Super League. The ACC Board of Directors heard a presentation from the group in February. However, planned dinners with administrators from the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12 were all called off. Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? They don't want to upset ESPN and Fox.
Right.
And spokespersons for the Big Ten and the SEC said Commissioners Petitti and Greg Sankey, respectively, have not met with the group. And you get why. They do not want to tick off ESPN and Fox because ESPN and Fox will see this as a threat to what they are paying
a
lot of money for. But again, I will bring up the fact that this lawsuit situation has got to be resolved. They've got to figure out a system that works. Everybody's got to come to the table, including the TV networks, yes, ESPN and Fox, and figure this out. I do think this is going to the point where you've got to create a college football super league. What that looks like, how many teams, I don't know. But at least somebody here has pitched an idea that makes a lot of sense, that is inclusive, that it invites a lot of teams and a lot of schools to have a seat at the table. It makes a lot of sense, which is why it probably won't work. because nothing makes sense in sports, especially in college football. After all, SMU and Stanford and Cal are in the ACC. So nothing makes sense.
Nothing ever will make sense in college football, unless maybe this does make sense someday. I don't know. Look, I see this, and I hope for it, and it may not be till I'm gray and wrinkly and watching my grandchildren playing in high school sports or something by then, but who knows? I just hope it gets there.
Well, it took forever to get to a college football playoff that included more than four teams, so hopefully it doesn't have to wait that long, and I think that lawsuit issue is real, but I also think that the network thing is real, and that's a real roadblock. All right, we can all hope and dream, though, but I love the idea. It's a great idea, and at least there's an organized effort by powerful people to try to fix this problem and create this new college football super league that would be beneficial to all involved, and I think including us, the college football fan. All right, it's time once again to visit with our friends at Hercules Credit Union. Alec is back in studio, and we keep spreading the good news because we all know, those of us who have a home, or we're looking at selling a home, or we're just curious about everything out there, maybe we've needed to try to get a loan, the interest rates are ridiculous. And it's really hard to pull the trigger and want to make a move and do anything. You've got help today. You've got something really interesting going on. Share with everyone what you're doing with your home equity loans.
Yeah, so right now we're at 3.99%, and that's for the first 6 months.
What?
3.99%.
Say that one more time.
We got 3.99%.
3.99? How?
Well, you know, that's just how we do it at Hercules. So we're
that's
hoping
simple.
To bring in more people. So
you are
going to
bring
us.
In more people. If you're listening right now, that's not a joke. This is not April Fool's. That was on April 1st. Today is April 4th. That is a 3.99% interest rate. That is awesome. If you're listening right now, you're not going to find a better rate on a home equity loan. And we're all looking to do something with our home equity right now because we're not able to do a lot of other things because of interest rates. So if people want to take advantage of this rate, how can they do that?
Yeah, so you can come visit us in Branch. We're in Taylorsville, Riverton, and Harriman. And you can also check us out online at HerculesCU.com.
That simple. You say about a two-week process, and you can have your money. And
yep, typically about a two-week process, and then after that, you're good to go.
A 3.99% interest rate on a home equity loan in the year 2024. It is real.
It's real.
You guys have it. That's awesome. Also, share us with us before we let you go. Your checking program is outstanding. Not only the benefits that come up with it, but the major benefit is the security that it provides.
Yeah, so we offer a full suite of security and digital protection for you, as well as credit monitoring, and then travel, great travel perks, great travel rewards, gift cards, rewards, cash back, all at no fee.
Oh, the security thing, the peace of mind that provides, that you don't have to worry about fraud and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You guys take care of that. That's awesome. Alec, thank you. We got one more hit coming up in 30 minutes. Hopefully nobody drove off the road when they heard 3.99. I know I would have. So get down to Hercules Credit Union. Find it today or go online, as you say it, Hercules Credit Union online. All right, we're going to take a short break here on JJ and Alex. The NFL Blitz is next. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All the latest news and notes from the league and the locals in the NFL. JJ and Alex bring you the NFL Blitz on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You hear the music, you know what time it is.
Yes.
It's our daily trip through the NFL. It is the NFL Blitz. Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farnsworth, JJ and Alex, let's get right to it. Sam, we've got some breaking news involving a BYU Cougar legend. Kyle Van Noy has signed a deal, and he's not going anywhere. Kyle Van Noy will stay with the Baltimore Ravens. He announced the news on Instagram and also went on the Pat McAfee show. It's official. It's a $9 million deal for 2 years. Van Noy, I don't know. Sam, I don't know why he wasn't on a team at the start of last year. That was the most bizarre thing, but it worked out to be the best thing for Kyle Van Noy because he could sit back and wait, and who came calling? One of the best teams in the NFL, and he had a chance to make a nice run in the playoffs, so I think it's a great fit and a chance for him to try to go win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, he didn't even miss a beat either, right? He came right in, and it seemed like even though he had been you know, everyone likes to use that term. He came from the couch to the league. You know, he'd been in the living room, whatever, and waiting for that opportunity. He didn't miss a beat at all. He had a career high for sacks in the season. It seemed like every week on your segment, Locals in the NFL, on KSL Sports Live, it was another sack from Kyle Van Noy. So, well-earned, well-deserved, and now this offseason, he actually knows where he's going for the summer.
How about these numbers last year? 30 tackles, 9 sacks. He didn't even play in September. 2 forced fumbles in 14 regular season games. Like I said, he didn't play those 3 games in September. Had 4 more tackles in the postseason. He's got a chance to go there, and I think that team will be right back in the mix. Obviously, the Chiefs are the team to beat, but a perfect place for Kyle Van Noy to return, and it's awesome to see. We're a big fan of Kyle Van Noy, always have been. And it'll be great to see what he could do in a couple more years in Baltimore. Another thing to watch, and we talked about this yesterday, the big bombshell trade, Stephon Diggs going to the Houston Texans from the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, I think, shocked everybody by doing that, but maybe it shouldn't have been a shock, because I think there was always this thought that there was going to be a time where they're going to move off of Stephon Diggs, but the timing of it was the surprise. And I think the team that landed him was the surprise. But it's interesting now, Sam, you look at this, the Texans are suddenly looking like a juggernaut. They have a lot of talent. 1,000-yard receiver in Diggs. They got, and then, of course, you have Tank Dell and Nico Collins there already. You've got Dalton Schultz, who's an incredible tight end, Bingham High School. He re-signed with the Texans. He's back again. And then they have a 1,000-yard rusher, Joe Mixon, that they trade for. And then you go get Danielle Hunter in free agency. The Texans are all in. They're pay off big?
Yeah, they're making moves, and I think one of the keys to all of their movement here is that they see a window right now with their young quarterback who, as you mentioned yesterday, is still on his rookie contract. That's big time, right? You save a lot of money, plus they get the option for a fifth year even later down the road, so being a first-round pick. So it's like they see a four-year window here where, look, I think we can be contenders. Let's dive into that now before we get too strapped too thin with keeping this quarterback for our franchise quarterback. So this is the opportunity, and they're all in. Let's see if it pays off for them. I'm really curious to see how that mix works for Stephon Diggs, you know, because he's got – I just imagine him getting a fewer targets than what he was used to in Buffalo with all the options they have. But we'll see. We'll see if it works.
The thing about it is because Tank Dell was so good and Nico Collins, they're both proven receivers.
Right.
It takes a little bit of pressure off both Stephon and the offense because they know that Stephon Diggs doesn't have to be an all-pro anymore for them to be successful. There's so many weapons in that offense. Plus, you're throwing Joe Mixon out there as a running back who is still at the top of his game. And that defense, maybe we're not talking about that defense enough, but they were really good last year. Mm-hmm. D'Amico Ryans is a defensive-minded coach. The offense seems to be rolling, and he's got that defense really playing well. And you add a player like Danielle Hunter, they're good on both sides of the ball. I think the Texans have put themselves in the mix with the Ravens and the Chiefs as teams that could win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl.
I think that's very fair. I don't care for the Texans one way or the other, but for the first time in my life, I'm saying I'm actually excited to watch the Texans in the NFL.
For the first time ever, we're excited about the Houston Texans. Sorry, J.J. Watt. Zach Wilson continues to be in the conversation. A lot of things written about Zach because everyone's wondering, okay, it's pretty clear that him and the Jets, it's not going to work out moving forward. So where's Zach going to land? Well, the problem is Zach's still under contract with the New York Jets. Yep. So it's not as simple as a team can just go and sign Zach. He's been given permission, and his agent has been given permission to look for a trade partner, but so far there are no takers. So, you know, it's kind of an odd situation where he's still on that roster. The draft comes up, then they got mini camps. He's going to have to show up to all these things, and I mean, it's going to be weird. Crazy. So something needs to happen. But one of the teams that's thrown out there, we talked about it. I talked about it with Sly. There was somebody threw out some teams that would be good fits, like the Chiefs, but you know that's not going to happen anymore because they just signed a backup. The Broncos, I think we can talk about this. I feel like the Broncos are the perfect fit
for
him.
I agree.
But I don't know if the Broncos feel like he's the perfect fit. Otherwise, they probably would have made a deal by now.
He may not be for them, but I agree. I mean, you've got Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci is the only quarterbacks on that
roster. There's room there.
Neither of those guys is the quarterback of the future. Now, obviously, they're going to target one in the draft.
Exactly.
But why not? Why not bring in a Zach Wilson and at least add the depth to the quarterback room? The competition, you know he's a He's an all-star when it comes to practice and to camp, and you know he's going to push those guys around him. What really kind of, I don't know if it baffles me, but it kind of speaks loudly that the Jets say, go ahead and look for a trade partner if you can find one. It kind of feels like they're saying, because we can't find one.
Yeah.
All right? And so now the Jets are going to have to make a decision. Do you keep him on the roster? Do you release him? What are you going
to
do with him?
Well, the thing about the trade thing is the Jets want him to be traded because then they're off the money.
Right, of course.
And the other team's going to have to take on the money, which I don't think they want to do for a guy that's probably going to be a backup quarterback mm-hmm. for a bit. So this is a tough, weird situation for Zach. It's tough for the Jets. I think all these teams will wait for him to be released, but that's not going to happen, at least not now. So we'll sit and wait, but the Saints thrown out there as a place that he could land. What do you think about the Saints for Zach Wilson?
That's an interesting one, too. I mean, what have the Saints done recently?
That's a franchise in a weird, like, we're stuck in the middle spot, right?
Right. Once the head coach left, and now Denver is the Adam, right?
So, yeah.
I don't see that as a great quarterback destination. I don't know if it's bad either, but it's not like, you know, that's a place. Again, maybe we're not looking for a great quarterback destination. Zach just needs to find a home.
Yeah.
Period. But, New Orleans, sure. Why not?
I would say the Saints are a good organization, but I think the better situation would be to go to a place where you have an offensive-minded coach and a good mm-hmm. offensive coordinator. You know, that's why the Chiefs seem like such a great fit. Carson Wentz, like I said, Carson Wentz is going there. That's not going to work out. The Chargers were also thrown out. I mean, Justin Herbert's the quarterback there. He's the guy. You're never going to play there unless he gets hurt. But then you go, you learn under Jim Harbaugh. You're backing up Justin Herbert. You have a chance to go play in L.A., closer to home. I don't know. I'm just throwing out these things that might make Zach feel a little more comfortable. Get him out of that New York heat, the media there, everything, all the stuff. And in the past, you want to get a new start. And he just needs to find a new start. But I also think it's very important for Zach to land in a place where he can thrive and learn how to play the game the right way and be successful and learn under the right coaches in the right organization. Because now he possibly could be in a situation where he gets to pick and choose that instead of having to get drafted by the Jets, which we knew when it started was going to be the worst situation for him. Kirk Cousins, now the starting quarterback, presumably, of the Atlanta Falcons. When they're spending that much money on him, he's going to start. You know that. Compared the Falcons to the Shaq era Miami Heat. I don't understand that. But he said, I want this to be my final stop. Dude, you're 36 years old, right? I hope it's his last stop.
Probably going to be the final stop.
Four-year deal, $180 million. That's an interesting situation. What do you think about the Falcons? They've just been so mid, and the quarterback has been one of the reasons why.
Yeah, and I think they certainly got an upgrade there. I like Kirk Cousins' game. I think he's pretty darn good. Is that the right fit? First of all, going back to the Shaq comment, like, who's the Dwayne Wade on the Falcons? Because I don't know who that is.
Well, maybe it's Bijan Robinson.
It could be. No, it could be. They've got talent. So can Kirk be that missing piece? We talked about it yesterday, too, how important a quarterback is in the NFL, how the Bills, even though they traded Stephon Diggs, they still have that piece that they can build around. Is Kirk Cousins that piece for the Atlanta Falcons now to help with all this young talent that they have on their offense? Because the quarterback situation there has been a struggle the past few seasons. I think it is an upgrade. I don't necessarily know that it means they're going to be a Super Bowl contender Shaq made the Heat.
Yeah, no question about that. And then one of the basis of his comparison was the 2006 Miami Heat was coming into a situation mm-hmm. late in his career where he can help them get over the top like Shaq did, help Dwayne Wade and the Heat get there. He doesn't want to be the Shaq that bounced around and played for the Celtics and the Suns. Right. I get that. Kirk Cousins doesn't want to be that guy when he's 38, 39 years old, just hanging on. It's an interesting gamble by the Falcons. We'll see if it pays off. Kirk Cousins is talented, but the playoff success is not there. And that's what concerns me when you're paying $180 million. I'm not sure that's going to work out very well. Deshaun Watson says he's be ready for week one. Interesting. The Browns quarterback situation. It felt like he was out half the year last year and it didn't really matter. That's a good team.
Right. Very good. Their defense was phenomenal. Deshaun Watson, I mean, I am back and forth on him just because of
It's so awkward because we all know you can't get around it. All the stuff that happened, It just feels ick, and I can't believe the Browns paid him all this money, but he's the starting quarterback
exactly.
of an NFL franchise. We've got to talk about him.
He's a good talent.
That stuff is...
He's a good talent.
Yeah.
I mean, what is he, three- or four-time Pro Bowler?
There's no question. Nobody's ever questioned the talent.
Right.
But now the injuries are piling up and all the baggage, and it's like, the Browns may regret that they made this signing, not just because of the stuff in the background, but the actual on-the-field stuff where he can't stay on the field. He can't get healthy.
And how far can you use that? Like, yeah, he's got injury problems, but when he's on the field, he's great. We're going to continue to ride. You know, how far can you take that excuse or that reasoning with a guy like Deshaun? We've seen it with other athletes in the past. And if you can't stay healthy, you can't stay on the football field, then what are you doing? He's not helping your team if he's not out there. And like you said, he's making a lot of money. So,
hey, it doesn't matter. I mean, we saw what the Broncos did with Wilson.
Exactly.
Russell Wilson. It's like, if this isn't working out, we'll take the $35, $40 million dead cap hit. We got to get out of here. We got to move on to another player. So we'll see if it finally works out for Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. He says he'll be ready for week one. We're ready for our next segment. We got to move on to a break. And when we come coming up next, best and worst. Hopefully I'm not the worst. It's JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wrapping up the hour with our picks for the best and worst moments on today's show. As JJ and Alex want to hear your best and worst of the day.
Wrapping up the 5 o'clock hour with the best and worst. But first, for an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug. I still don't know how to do that well, but I'm working on it. Somebody's got to do it while Alex is gone. I'm doing my best. All right, the best today. It's awesome. I love the Final Four. The women's Final Four is all set, and just the Elite Eight was awesome. 12.3 million people watched Iowa and LSU. It was one of the highest rated sporting events of the year.
Yep.
It was more than several bowl games.
More than the NBA Finals.
More than the NBA Finals, yes. And the excitement and the intrigue and the theater that is women's college basketball right now is awesome. And it continues into the Final Four. We got Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
LSU versus UConn. And I don't think anyone's giving NC State a chance against South Carolina. We'll see how that goes. But South Carolina is a juggernaut, a dynasty. Everybody loves dynasties. And despite falling short last year, they're undefeated. Everyone's focused on Caitlin Clark, and they were focused on LSU.
Yep.
They're South Carolina undefeated, continuing their greatness. But all of this combined, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, is there is a lot of interest in the women's NCAA Final Four. Probably more interest than in the men's, to be quite honest. And that, because of that reason, supply and demand, the tickets are not cheap.
No.
Some tickets for the women's NCAA Final Four are now $2,000.
$2,000.
Wow. Would you pay $2,000 to go watch the women's Final Four?
Look, I'm one of those guys. I won't pay $2,000 for a ticket to almost anything.
Yeah.
However.
Nothing to do with gender.
Right. $500, we're already, that's $500 that I need in my wallet. Look, I get it, though. And there's going to be the demand for it. There are going to be the people that are going to spend $2,000 to get into the Final Four this week. And you nailed it. I mean, Caitlin Clark v. Paige Beckers, right?
We
saw what the ratings said about Caitlin versus Angel Reese. And I know that it's a team sport. I get it. But when you have the star power that you have in women's college basketball this year, when you have it in any sport and you can go one-on-one like Jordan Bird back in the day or Jordan Magic, or Bird and Magic, all those matchups back in the day, you have that right now in women's college basketball, and people want it. They want that drama. They want to see Caitlin Clark against Paige Beckers. And I wouldn't be shocked if the TV ratings are near what they were last time either.
Well, these prices are insane. The average price of a ticket sold to the NCAA Women's Semifinals now $2,323, while the average sale price for the men's $1,000. $1,001.21. Oh, more than double for the women's tournament than the men's. 2024. 10 years ago, can you imagine
never
people saying that? And here we are. What a tribute to the women's game, what they've accomplished. And you got to give credit to these. It's all about the stars. So you got to give credit to these stars for uplifting the game and making it become very mainstream. I mean, when your tickets cost $2,000, you've hit it big. And it's certainly fun to watch this the sport emerge. And it's always been good. Women's, if you're a fan of basketball, there's been great women's basketball players over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really good sport. But when it's multiple players spread out over multiple teams, it's not just they all play on UConn or they all play on Tennessee.
Right.
It has really made the sport even better. If the WNBA could just get their act together and capitalize on the amount of talent they have in that league, especially with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and many others coming that way, it should really help the WNBA. Maybe the WNBA should be the worst today because they struggle to capitalize on this, but we'll see if they can do that moving forward. Today's worst, Sam, do we need another postseason tournament in men's college basketball? How many do we need?
Goodness.
Well, we're getting another. It's Are terrible. You ready for this?
All right, tell
New me. New postseason college basketball tournament coming in the spring of 2025. Cannot wait for this. Not. So Fox is behind this.
Of course.
Fox and FS1, they want to do it live from Las Vegas. It's going to be called the College Basketball Crown. They're going to crown the champion, they say. Snooze.
No. Come on. Like, really, this is like when we're getting into those lower-tier bowl games in college football now, right?
Yeah.
This is even worse than that. And,
right.
You know, it's like I can't – and you've probably covered teams that have done the same. But when I was in Colorado Springs, Air Force more than one occasion denied – the invitation to go to a postseason basketball tournament because, like, it's not worth it for us. It's not worth it for our recruiting. It's not worth it for the amount of money we're going to spend to go and play in this tournament. That means absolutely nothing. Fox is creating some sort of basketball tournament here where I believe they think they're going to be able to make some money off it, turn a profit.
Yeah.
But these schools aren't going to. They're going to lose money. And is it worth it? Is it worth the exposure that they're going to get? Is it worth it for recruiting? I just don't see it.
Here's the one wrinkle. It's going to be at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in T-Mobile in Las Vegas, March 31st to April 6th. It's going to be competing
with
the Final Four. The single elimination 16-team tournament will feature schools from the Big Ten, Big East, and Big 12. That's it. A total of 15 games will be played in the week with games airing on Fox and FS1. We don't need this. We're not going to watch it. I'm sorry. You're wasting your time, Fox.
So if you're a bubble team for the NCAA tournament and don't get in from one of these conferences, would you take this over the NIT?
I guess it would depend on the amount of money,
right? I guess, yeah.
I don't know. Either way, we don't need it.
No.
No thanks, Fox. All right. That's a wrap for the 5 o'clock hour. Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farnsworth. This is JJ and Alex. The show rolls on after this, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.